Let's see, look at concepts and approaches of strategic management. Large enterprises employ more structured strategic management model. So that's what I was talking about. Mostly the large and the medium size, large and medium enterprises, they employ a structured approach towards strategic management. So depending on the size of operations, scope of operation, and different stakeholder views and requirements. Because, you know, these inputs are taken at the formulation stage, or industry analysis stage, or internal and external environment analysis stage, strategic formulation stage. So you have different tools to, flush out information, take inputs, and incorporate those inputs depending on the size of the company, scope of the company in terms of what scope they are doing, scope of services, scope of products, you know. Then multiple stakeholder views and requirements are captured. For example, this is for the large and large to large medium sized companies. In a SME kind of an environment, they employ entrepreneurial approach, because the organization is not a multi-layered, it's not a hierarchical organization, unlike the large enterprises. So it's a smaller scale, small size of operations. So it is entrepreneurial driven. So everything is, the top management, the person who's promoting the company, an entrepreneur, who's controlling the whole process. You know, there is not the top management is a very thin team, and the whole organization has a small size and scale of its operation. There are four distinct approaches to strategic management. These are classical, processual, evolutionary, and systemic. So that's what I was talking about. The two distinct approaches: prescriptive approach. In a prescriptive approach, focus on what should be, like one size fits all. In strategic management, in an industry, within the industry itself, one size fits all doesn't work. Forget about the different industries, right? But strategic management process is a framework. But using the framework, a dynamic tool. How do you customize it for your industry, your organization, you know, as compared to some other industry or some other company within your industry? For example, there is a drastic difference between Singapore Airlines and Southwest Airlines, right? So the market segment, the customer segment, the products and the services that they actually deliver, it's a full service carrier, it's a low cost carrier. So the philosophy of strategic management is totally different, because, you know, though within the aviation industry, airlines industry, but the strategic management process is different for one company and different for another company. So one size fits all, it doesn't, you know, really work. Descriptive approach describes how strategy will be implemented in specific and customized contexts, because that is what this strategic management process, a dynamic tool that really helps an organization to, formulate the strategy and execute the strategy depending on what industry, what business the organization is in, what kind of customer segment they are trying to address. Let's talk about now importance and relevance of strategic management. Okay, it is very important. How does it, help you to run your organization more effectively and efficiently, and take your company in a high growth trajectory? I think profitability, the potential profitability of the organization has to be unlocked. So that is what the strategic management process actually does. The performance of a company will be best managed. The profitability and growth, the performance of the company is best managed if its strategic management process is in place. If you don't have a strategic management process, if you look at only operational and tactical issues, that come on a day-to-day basis, the organization will lose its long-term vision. It doesn't have a long-term vision at all. So you can't really focus on what you really want to do, what is the purpose, why your existence is there in the industry, what your customers need, why do you need to make those products. So you're just trying to make ends meet on a day-to-day basis, but you are losing the big picture, which is with the economy, with the country, with the with the industry is presenting for presenting, where the other companies are taking a lead in addressing and capturing the market share and then growing faster than your company. So performance of a company will be best managed if its strategic management process is in place. Execution of strategy is the most important aspect for remaining successful in business. Execution. It is not just formulation. Execution. What kind of discipline that you are having in the implementation? How well your employees are empowered? How well your employees are aware? What kind of tools and resources you are providing your employees to make the implementation happen? So execution is the most important aspect of remaining successful. So that's very important. Strategic management is of foremost importance to the success of any organization which aspires to become a leader in this industry. So it is very important. So if you want to become a leader in your industry, whether you take any, as I said in the beginning, every industry has three or four leaders who are good in their own specific strategic direction what they are taking, right? If you're in the automobile industry, if you take Mahindra and Mahindra, Mahindra and Mahindra is in the large and tractor segment and heavy duty automobiles. So if you look at Maruti and other they are in the four wheeler passenger car segment. You take Hero Motor or Bajaj Auto, they are in the two wheeler segment. So you have different industries within the same automobile industry vertical. You have different companies who are actually competing for a different market segment. For example, Tata Motors, Tata Nano is a different product within the whole range of products that they have, right from Jaguar, Land Rover to Nano. But Nano is addressing a very specific segment of it's not just a cheap car, it is actually a smart car, for a price tag which is worth for a particular segment of customers. So your strategy is different actually. Within the same industry, within the same company itself, different products have different kind of strategy, right? You create products for meeting the aspirational needs of different sets of segments of customers. So that's it. It's about how you're making you want to become a leader. How you become a leader in a particular space. So there are different leaderships. Different companies demonstrate leadership in different product segments, right? Whether it is two wheeler or a passenger car. Within passenger car, different low segment, medium segment, and middle segment, and the high end segment. So you have leadership in each of those product lines, each of those segments, to meet the aspirations of different segments of customers. Any company which wants to become a leader needs to recognize the fact that strategic management is of foremost importance for its organization. It helps the organization to build its vision for its future. So we'll talk about that in detail. How do you build a vision? How vision helps for your future? So how do you visualize and how do you actualize your vision? Helps people to understand the vision and what the organization stands for. So how do you empower and train the people to understand, to come along with the organization to execute the vision? Educates the people to understand the structure of the organization they are working for and what are the different levels of strategies at different levels. So you have to really understand, you have to get different levels of people to understand. So strategic management process is a tool that really helps to educate people at different levels, which is SBU level, functional level, and even at the employee level. Better delegation, coordination, monitoring, and performance review. So the whole strategic management process is, if it is institutionalized properly, so it actually has a review mechanism and control mechanism through a balanced scorecard approach or through a any other tool that you may have across the different segments of your performance review, whether it is financial performance or customer experience performance or operational performance or people and culture performance. So these are different levels of performance standards that you may want to the organization will coordinate and monitor and review and take corrective measures. Identification of strengths and weaknesses. It does a SWOT analysis, internal environment and external environment. and to take measures to leverage the strengths and overcome weakness. So you recognize your strengths and weaknesses, and accordingly you are able to take corrective measures to sustain your organization performance. Brings in SWOT analysis that helps companies to adopt suitable strategies to address market opportunities. What are threats proposed by external environment? Because there is always threat, risk, you perceive from the external environment. So how do you mitigate those risks? How do you, avoid, how do you protect your organization from the external environment threats? So I think that's very important. So that is what it helps in. Helps to make strategies more realistic by constantly evaluating internal and external environment. So constant comparison of both internal and external environment, review of that process, helps you to take corrective measures and, improve your areas for development. If you are identifying some weaknesses in some of those areas, whether it is sales, marketing, or customer service, or in your HR, processes, or it is in the manufacturing processes. So you are able to, clearly understand and recognize your strengths and weaknesses by comparing the internal and external environment. It empowers the organization to handle competition more effectively because you have all the information, analytical tools, analysis done for the industry, competition, and external environment. You are in a much better position to handle competition more effectively and proactively. Makes the leadership team more dynamic and define strategies relevant to the marketplace. So this is very important. Leadership team should be very, very resilient and dynamic in order to, accommodate, adopt changes so quickly and effectively, with respect to relevant to the marketplace. Mark-to-market strategies help the company to meet the customer expectations and stay ahead, not fall behind the curve. So your innovative ideas, and like I talked about, retail industry. So the new ideas, how do you meet the customer experience and expectations through a online experience or an e-commerce experience? So how do you, how the company, is completely different from the entire industry? So I think that makes a lot of difference. So your mark-to-market strategies help the companies, to meet, changing customer expectations. Then let's talk about limitations. While there are benefits and importance for strategic management for an organization's success, there are limitations also. So one must recognize the fact that it is not a solution for all the problems that the organization will face. But there are areas, but it's a must-have kind of a tool. However, it may not. It may have some limitations and constraints. Let's talk about that. Organizations sometimes fail to make strategic management as integral part of the, strategy making process. Sometimes, while the strategic management process clearly advocates that you need to include all the employees in the strategic management process. But sometimes the top management may fail to involve the employees at different levels of the organization. So what happens, you tend to miss the critical inputs that are available from the market. Like the sales guy, the sales team is in front of the market, in front of the customers. They get market inputs, and if you don't consult the sales team, the frontline sales team, or the product team, or the marketing team, so you fail to take the inputs from the external environment and feed it into the system in creating a robust strategic formulation. So I think that's very important. That could be a thing. So it depends on the top management. Some organizations do it effectively, and there is a discipline. Some organizations fail to make strategic, make it happen. Organizations need to be over ambitious and draw unrealistic. So sometimes, they tend to be over-ambitious. They set higher expectations, not realistic expectations. So unrealistic strategies will be formulated and it never gets executed because the employees get overwhelmed. Employees are not inclusive. They are not. They don't have a buy-in into the strategies of the organization, because if you give a 100% growth from this financial year to next financial year, I don't think the sales team is going to do it. So you need to set realistic and realistic expectation and you can be aspirational over a period of longer time horizon, but you can't have short-term goals which are very unrealistic and the organization really, is not able to execute it. Process does not ensure unconditional success because the time horizon for success is a relative term. It depends on many factors within the organization. So the process does not ensure success in a stipulated time. Sometimes you might have put a strategy for 36 months, but it might take 48 months or even more. So by constant review and setting realistic expectations, you will keep changing the milestones, keep changing your timelines. Analysis if made without proper due diligence may lead to wrong strategy. So if you don't have proper inputs and if you're relied upon inputs which are not from the reliable sources, then what happens is that you can't rely upon the strategy that will lead to a successful implementation. So while doing due diligence, you must do proper internal and external environment analysis through reliable sources. If all options are not evaluated before the finalization of strategy, there could be significant risks. So you have to evaluate all the options. So that strategy formulation is all about evaluating the different options available in front of you. You are making strategy number one, strategy number two, strategy number three. So you are evaluating all the three options before finalizing on the strategy that you want to pursue. You can't follow all the three strategies. For example, you're talking about a value strategy, cost strategy, on value and cost strategy, right? So you have to clearly choose. For example, let's look at Jet Airways. Jet Airways is a full service carrier. It was launched as a full service airlines, then they acquired Sahara Airlines, which is a low cost carrier. So they started having Jet Light and Jet Connect kind of services. But the people expectation was that Jet would provide highest level of service. Jet Airways is known for highest level of service because it is a full service carrier. So there is a mismatch of expectations, but you are not able to really recalibrate the whole internal systems, and you can't change the customer's mindset. But it's still struggling to make profitability in its so that's the key thing. So you need to make strategic choices. The company needs to evaluate the strategic choices, have the clear options, options evaluated, and if you don't clearly do that, there will be significant risks, which I talked about. Still Jet Airways is struggling to, in spite of Etihad, infusing almost $350 million worth of investment, almost 2,500 crores worth of investment into the company. So that is the key point. Ignored feedback and inputs from different levels of people within the organization may create future problems at implementation stage. So like the sales team, marketing team, product team, I said a while ago, if you ignore their inputs, how do you expect those employees to execute the strategy? So you need to respect, you need to recognize those inputs, and you have to clearly communicate this is the strategic option that you are following. So the employees are clearly aware that this is what the future is all about, and this is what the strategy is all about, and different levels of people have responsibilities to deliver on that. So actions and behaviors and actions will happen based on how effectively you communicate. Inadequate management's commitment, lack of willingness to allocate resource may lead to. This is a common problem in most of the organization. You've got a fantastic strategy. You've got a fantastic strategic management process. But you don't, when the rubber hits the road, management's commitment goes into the backstage. Because, the commitment and lack of willingness to allocate resources, it is a potential danger for the failure of strategic management process. Management may get distracted by short-term tactical goals because you put a good 3-year roadmap, But you get distracted by the short-term tactical approach because you are looking at revenue growth, but you're not looking at the value that you want to create for the in the long term. So you look at short-term goals rather than the vision that you've rather than focusing on the vision that you've set for yourself. So these are common problems. And then you have conflict management between different stakeholders within the organization, whether it is business unit or corporate level or a functional unit. Then change management, the planning process exert resistance or indifference to the progress of strategic management. No strategy can be stretched beyond boundaries of a particular business. So this is another limitation that you can say. Demotivated employees, if the employees are not communicated, not empowered well about the strategy, they will be demotivated. They will not participate in the implementation of strategic management process. Universal strategy adoption may lead to company in a trap. You may want to, you know, go beyond your capabilities, and you want to you put in place universal strategy, but it may lead to confusion. It may lead to people not adopting it, and it may lead the company in a trap. So let's come to the underlying principles of strategy. So what is strategy? So I talked about Michael Porter, who is the authoritative consultant, author about strategic management in the modern world. So it's all about creation of unique, valuable position for the organization, unique value proposition. So creation of unique, valuable position for the organization involving different sets of activities, right? So you have to create a unique position. You cannot be in all the places. Like Jet Airways, you have to be either a Singapore Airlines or you have to be a Southwest Airlines. So you want to be in all the three areas, right? The top end, middle end, and the bottom end. So what happens is the organization resources will be stretched. You don't have a clear you're not giving clear mandate to the the SBUs and the functional units and the employees to carry out. There will be conflict, there will be confusion, there will be demotivation. So the strategy should be very clear, right? So when you are merging two, three entities of conflicting interests, you must be very careful because it is bringing in significant risk to the organization's success, the profitability. So that's what is happening in the case of Jet Airways, which I clearly explained. So it is very important. You need to create a unique value proposition for the organization involving different sets of activities. Activities could be, the different KPIs and the objectives that, that we talked about in order to fulfill. Even Southwest Airlines, there are multiple moving parts to make the end result happen. Similarly in Singapore Airlines. So you've got multiple moving engines, too many moving engines, different activities happening at the same time in a coordinated manner to deliver the highest customer experience who flies in Singapore Airlines, the customer who gets the best of the customer experience in the airline industry. Requires organizations to make trade-off. Sometimes, if you compromise, then what happens? You are again leaving a lot of risks for the organization. So you have to have a unique value proposition. You can't have a compromise and trade-off. Sometimes it may take a trade-off because that's what I'm saying. You need to give up something, but you need to focus on something. If Jet Airways focuses on high-end of the customers and give up the low-end, because there are so many guys who have come in the field now. IndiGo is there, Air Asia is there, SpiceJet is there, Go Air is there. There are so many players who are playing in the low end of the market. So why do you want to be in the low end of the market? So you create, you keep your unique value proposition of the high end of the industry and customer experience, right? So you don't get, so that is what the confusion that has created, Jet Light, Jet Connect, so many products you create, but the organization is built on a particular cost model. The cost model is fundamentally the high end of the customer experience that you are talking about, full-fledged, full-service, career. So that's the key point. So your organization needs to make trade-off there. You have to really understand, I cannot be in all the places. So have a clear strategy. Involves creating fit among an organization's activities. So how do you create fit? How do you build capabilities and skills so that the organization is able to deliver what your vision is? So again, I'm going back to the same example. You can't keep creating multiple silos within the organization in order to create different market segments, right? So you have to be very clear. So you have to create strategic fit within the organization, so the whole organization works towards the same strategy to meet that vision. It's a long-term plan. What is strategy? Strategy is a long-term plan an organization is willing to pursue in order to get its mission and purpose filled. So the organization has to fulfill its purpose. That's the vision that it talks about. We want to become the greatest, the trusted partner for my customers in their business. So what does it mean? If you are in a particular industry, you become a partner of your customer in order to address the challenges of the customer or his business requirements. So that's broadly the vision. So how do you meet the vision, that particular purpose? You have to define the different activities that, you know, the mission and the purpose, to support that vision of meeting the customer's requirements. It depends on the nature and type of company. There are different types of companies. The basic industries that we know, which is the core industries of any economy, which is the mining, metals, steel, power, and other core industries. Traditional companies like automobile, television, consumer electronics, consumer durables, and entertainment. The new world economy like the IT services, e-commerce, BPO, social media. So the strategy differs for each of those companies within the industry itself. Each organization has a different, you know, type of, you know, strategy. So as the industry is evolving, you know, there is a new thing that is happening, you know, new industry is getting formed. You actually, you know, pay as per the usage. So anything as a service is a new thing that, you know, many players sell a cloud as a service, because you don't have to put a huge capex to buy huge IT equipment, but you can actually avail it as a cloud service. So those are things which are, you know, common today, you know, that has evolved now, and there are many more, you know, services available to the customer. As the customer can pay as per the usage, address opportunities in the area of innovative solutions and services. It can be offered to the business to consumer service, that is a B2C service, and B2B, which is basically the business to business customers. Effort of an organization to achieve. What is the positioning? We talked about unique positioning. Effort of an organization is to achieve sustainable competitive advantage by continually preserving what is distinctive about the company. So we need to clearly position the competitive advantage by continually preserving what is distinctive about the company. The company is known for this. That's what I'm saying. If you're in the full service, high end of the customer experience management, you can't be diluting yourself. That is your distinction. You can't trade off. You have to trade off, because you might lose some revenues and profits, but you are actually tightening the strategy the organization needs to execute, right? So you have to have a distinctive strategy and competitive advantage by preserving what is distinctive, right? So that will lead to sustainability of the organization. The key to success is to not get distracted by short-term opportunistic goals, which we have discussed, that would hamper company's objectives in the long run to achieve the purpose. So this is known. So you can't get distracted with opportunistic tactical things in order to achieve your long-term vision. Strategic management process brings out facts analyzing the following to ensure strategic positioning. Underlying economic structure of the external environment. So you have Indian economy, you know how it is. So you have an underlying economic fabric currently. Currently, it is presenting a huge opportunity, but there are challenges, macroeconomic challenges. Inflation is high, interest rate is high, our forex situation has improved now under control. A year back, it was out of control, now it is under control. Monsoon, we get an average monsoon this year. So there are a lot of challenges which are there. So you need to understand the underlying economic structure while you are, you know, trying to take inputs, analysis of the internal external environment. Choosing a strategic position of low cost focus or value differentiation focus. This is exactly what I was talking about in the case of Jet Airways, you know, case analysis. So you need to choose strategic position of low cost or a value differentiation. Benchmark the competition vis-a-vis the resources of the company is able to create. So you've got a competition, how they are doing business and how your company is doing business in terms of resources. So you have to benchmark it, whether it is productivity or see, every company uses, you know, telecom operators use average revenue per user, ARPU, or minutes of usage, MOU. So these are different parameters they use. So their resources are utilized and productivity levels are monitored constantly and benchmarked with the competition. So how do you make a distinctive or how do you take leadership position in those parameters? Make companies' process difficult to imitate. So you have to create a organization, the products and services where the competition is finding it difficult to imitate. It should be key characteristics of strategic decisions. What is a strategic decision? It should be a long-term and future-oriented, leveraging company's wisdom and compassion. It's very important. You've got certain capabilities, you've got people skills, you've got resources across the organization, and you are building an organization for the long-term future. Should consider factors both internal and external influencing the organization. So you need to consider the internal factors and external factors, as we have seen, discussed earlier. Should evaluate choices that could make winning proposition of the organization. So you have to clearly make the choices. The evaluation should be very clear. Then the strategy formulation happens. Should be resilient enough to take advantages of favorable situations by being discreetly opportunistic. That's okay. Discreetly opportunistic is okay, because that favorable situations are coming on your way and you want to take advantage of them. So that distinctive kind of discreetly opportunistic, but not, you know, that cannot be a general rule that you digress and then be tactical all the time. Key decisions could vary from choosing the right market segment, developing the right products and services, building high level skills for the people to differentiate the offerings, generating cost-effective financial resources, CapEx investments, creating partner ecosystem. These are different components of your decision-making process. But the composite effect of this will reflect on your strategy formulation, actually. Because you have to make choices here. What is the choice that you're making? The decisions. You have to make decisions in these components. Whether it is a market segment, as you are right, so you are in the high end of the market segment or middle end of the market segment, it's your product addressing the heavy vehicle industry or a two-wheeler industry, or at the entry-level requirement or passenger car segment or, agriculture-related products in the automobile segment like tractors and other things. So you need to choose the right market segment, developing the right products and services in relevant to that market segment. Building high-level skills to differentiate the offerings. Generating cost-effective financial resources. How do you create resources for the organization to sustain? CapEx investments. Creating partner ecosystem. Decision makers take decisions that could impact company's profitability in the short term but bring significant revenue and profit in the long term. Sometimes, you know, you may have to take decisions looking at the future. Short term, you may invest and you might incur some losses or break even, but in the long run, it brings in a lot of revenues and profits. So this could be a very critical decision making criteria. The quality of strategic inputs and degree of involvement of top and middle management leaders depend on the size of the organization. This is another decision making process, because if it is a very flat organization, things are different. If it is a hierarchical organization, things could be completely different. If it is an entrepreneurial organization, the promoter, the entrepreneur, he himself takes the decision. So it depends on the size of the organization at the end of the day. Corporate level leaders also engage outside consultants to take, you know, to help the top management. If it is a large organization, you engage the services of the big consulting organization, companies like KPMG, EY, you know, McKinsey. These people actually engage the top companies to, you know, create a strategy roadmap for business expansion, mergers and acquisitions, new product launch, new industry, new country, or entering into new country. So you will understand, you will actually use some of the consultants, management consultants, to, you know, cut the, you know, learning curve, and you don't want to reinvent the wheel by doing it yourself. So that is very important. Top management seeks inputs from senior leadership and middle level leadership team members directly and from key employees indirectly. So this is another process that happens in the decision making process. Socioeconomic concerns also play a critical role in the decision making process, which we have seen. Whether it is society or the economy, what are the macro factors that are impacting? We'll be talking about all those things in detail in different chapters, you know, that the book will be talking about. So it's very beautifully put with a lot of Indian context and global scenario context. So you'll be able to compare the learning experience will be, I hope your learning experience will be different in this book. So socioeconomic concerns also play a critical role in the decision making process. Evaluation of risks, rewards from key component of the strategic decision making process. So how do you evaluate the risk and rewards? So you need to clearly compare the probability of the risk, the impact of the risk, the rewards of whether it is an upside reward or a downside reward. So you need to clearly understand, and the mitigation process also be part of the, you know, decision making process.